touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." I had a hard time naming the sermon because it has two parts. The first part is going to be called The Whisper of God, and that's what we're going to start with. Then we're going to get into letter one, and we'll understand that. But we need to start with The Whisper of God before we can get to letter one. Elijah's in a tough spot. He has just had the most miraculous encounter with the prophets of Baal and his God, and he challenged the prophets of Baal to a duel, basically, with his God. And he said, "You go ahead, you call down your God, I'm going to call down my God. And whichever God comes down with fire, that's the true living God." Takes guts. You got to be pretty sure of what you're doing when you make a challenge like that. And so those prophets of Baal, they had been, you know, cutting themselves, doing all kinds of stuff, trying to get their gods to bring down the fire. And Elijah had the confidence to say, "No, my God is going to bring down the fire." And the God brings down the fire. This is what he did. He got rid of all these prophets of Baal. And now, Jezebel's mad. She's really mad that he did this to those prophets. He's brought rain. He's brought down the prophets of Baal by the power of God, obviously. And so now, Jezebel's after him. And the moment, you know, like when you have those great moments with God, the moment had kind of worn off a little bit of that mountain experience. We're having a mountain experience here, aren't we? Yeah, right? I hope we're having a mountain experience here, right? So, and sometimes we can go home and that mountain experience might seem to wear off a little bit. And so Elijah's mountain experience is wearing off just a little bit, and he goes into a funk. He is depressed. I'm not saying this is going to happen to any of you, don't worry. Right? But he goes into a depression. He goes through into a depression that is so deep and so severe that he wants to kill himself. You know, there is a lot of stuff that goes on in this this world that can weigh us down. That was the first word. You know, those crowds pressing in, those things that happen. And we get so overwhelmed by things sometimes that we can be depressed. We can even, you know, people usually don't admit it, but people can have thoughts of killing themselves. And it's this incredible dynamic of having this experience with God that is so real. But how do I hang on to this? How do I live my everyday life where I am having these kinds of experiences with God so that I can continue to have my zeal for God? His response is, I've been married sinless for the Lord. Can I switch mics? Is that okay?
Will it still record if I switch mics? Will it? Yeah? Okay. Sorry. There you go. All right. So he's talking about how zealous he is for God. It is good to be zealous for God. It better be good to be zealous for God, because I am very, very zealous for God. And I mean it when I say it. But those inner moments can be hard. And he didn't know what to do. And he was used to these mountaintop experiences, and he, I believe, were the prophets who were living on the mountaintop experiences. In the Pentagon. And God knew his heart and knew something had to change in him. So he takes him through the desert of Damascus and he gives him some food there. He says, the journey is too much for you. That's what the angel says to him. The journey
is too much for you. You know, our problems, our circumstances,
it doesn't matter how big or how small they are too much for us on our own. They're too much.
Maybe we think we can do it, but you can't do it without God. And he is learning this lesson very quickly in his life. He had this incredible experience, and sometimes when we come off of an incredible experience, we can say, I can do anything. I can do it all. Rah! All right, football game cheers, right? And we have that kind of zeal. But God wants us to always remember that zeal is not going to carry you through your life. And I'm going to teach you right now, Elijah, what's going to carry you through your life. Go to the mountain of Horeb. Go to the mountain of God. So he goes to the mountain of God. He's gotten the strength. God gives him the strength to go to the mountain of God. He gets there, and he's still depressed. And he lays down in the mouth of the cave. And the word of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord, comes to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? And he gives his very, you know, very real answer. I love this. He's not like, oh, I'm here because I just called that man and I'm getting away from that mean lady Jezebel and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm depressed, God. Here I am. This is the real thing, and I'm upset with you because I've been zealous for you, and the Israelites aren't even listening to me, and I broke down all your altars, and I put down the prophets, and I'm the only one left. It's only me. Just me. That's the way we feel sometimes. Come on, I'm... Man, I know that's the way I am sometimes. I feel alone. I feel like I'm the only one that feels this way. I'm the only one who is experiencing this right now. And this is the way he feels. It's very real. And he's not hearing the whisper of the Lord right there, is he? He's not hearing it. So then the Lord says, all right, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord's about to pass by. All right, here comes my power moment, right? Here comes my big moment. Okay, we had a fire on Mount Carmel and all the prophets came down. He's going to come by and it is going to rock my world and I'm going to go back out there again on my next power moment, right? So God brings the power moment. Here it comes. Ready? Let's have the rocks shatter apart and the mountains are shattering. Wow, that is amazing. The mountains are shaking. And God's not in it. And he's still empty. All right, well, let's have the earthquake. Yeah, all right. God's still not in it. And he's still depressed. And then we have the fire come. Oh, that's how you came on Mount Carmel, God. Cool. And God's still not in it. And he's still depressed. See, those moments with God that we have are awesome and they're real when God's in them. But we can't live on those. We cannot live on those. We can only live on the whisper of God. And so he finally comes in that still, small voice. It's a gentle whisper. And it's different than what Elijah's used to. It's very different. And he sits there with that gentle whisper. And guess what? It's the same question that was asked the first time. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah is probably having a little bit of an epiphany at this point. That small voice that I've been hearing, that's what I'm supposed to be living on. You asking me the same question again. You're asking me the same question again. You're asking me the same question again. And although I love these wonderful moments with you, God, I need to learn to listen to the question that you're whispering to me. Because that's what's going to carry me through the day-to-day of my life. And he still has the same answer. He's not faking it. I love this about Elijah. I love Elijah. I love him. He goes up to the Lord in a fiery chariot, man. It doesn't get much better than that. But he still hasn't gotten the answer to his problem. He's just learning to recognize the whisper of God. And he says, oh, God, I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. It's the same answer. He still needs his answer from God. He still needs it. He's now recognized the whisper, and now he needs his answer. And the answer comes. I love God's answer. I don't know if Elijah loved God's answer, but I love God's answer. In verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. Oh my goodness. You see, Elijah had this mountaintop experience, and then when it came, things came crashing down, he ran. He ran from his problems. He ran away. He tried to escape. Do you know you can try as hard as you want to run away from your problems? You can try with all of your might to look that thing in the face, say, if I just run in the opposite direction, I will get away from this thing and it will be far behind me. And you can do that. But guess what? If you're following the whisper of the Lord, God is always going to tell you, go back the way you came. You gotta face it. You gotta face it. This man who had all the boldness, all the courage to look at those prophets of Baal, kill them, all right? Couldn't look Jezebel in the face. Couldn't confront Jezebel. He sat there and he was shaking in his knees. And this is somebody who you would think would have all this strength, all this courage. And instead he said, oh my goodness, you're really going to make me go back and face this lady who's going to take my life? This lady who has all this power? We've got power, ladies. We can use it for good or for evil, by the way, just FYI. Do you use your power for good or do you use it for evil? We're going to get into that a little bit more in a bit. All right. So he says you have to go back the way you came. You have to go back to the desert. To the desert. To the dry place. What? I've just spent my whole weekend here getting drenched. And I have to tell you, I am loving it. I am loving getting drenched in the Lord. But if he whispers to me, go back to the dry place because there's unsettled stuff sitting there in the dry place, then I have to be willing to go back into the desert, having received my strength from the Lord on the mountaintop. Thank you for the mountaintop, Lord God. Now I've got to go back to the desert, back to the way I came, and I got to deal with the stuff that's still sitting here in the desert that I am not going to want to run from because I know God has a plan for my life, and I don't fulfill that plan if that stuff is still sitting there in the desert. Because if it's in the desert, it's in that dry place in me that hasn't been drenched in the Spirit yet. Until the desert turns into a stream, the desert is still a desert in our life, and we've got to go to that desert, and we've got to deal with those things. They don't go away. And God will only tell you to go to the desert of the things that he is calling you to deal with at this point in time. He's not going to call me to the desert for something I'm supposed to deal with 5 years from now. That's my 5-year desert. That one's 5 years away. Thank you, Lord. I'll deal with that one in 5 years. What's the desert I have in my life today? We can't ignore them. God is not going to let you ignore them because he's got this whisper. And I have to laugh because I was thinking about this, and the whisper, and we're going to talk about what the whisper does in our life, but God will not be ignored. He will not be ignored. And so he was whispering to Elijah, and Elijah was ignoring the whisper, right? He's running away. And God is not a yeller. He's not. He is not going to yell at you to get your attention. That's just not who he is. But he will keep persistently and consistently whispering to you until you get it. And so I had this picture of my daughter, Hannah, and she's a cutie. She really is. She tries me sometimes, but she's really cute. And so I'm trying to teach her good manners. And so when I'm talking to another adult, I say, Hannah, if I'm talking to another adult, just tap my leg. And I will come and I will talk to you when I'm ready and I can finish this conversation and take a minute. And so, you know, she tries that and she does this, but eventually it's Mom, 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 Mom. And I'm like, what? What? And she's like, I have to go to the bathroom or whatever it might be. And so she gets my attention, though. Now, if I'm ignoring her and I don't look at her, she taps once. If I'm ignoring her, she taps once and I just keep talking and I don't acknowledge that tap, she keeps right on going. Mom said tap. Mom said tap. Mom said tap. And she'll just keep right on going when I ignore her. You know what? God is the most well-mannered man, but he will keep on tapping and keep on tapping and keep on tapping till finally you might be at that frustrated place where you go, what? What is it? And you say, oh, thanks for looking at me. Thanks for turning your eyes toward me. Thanks for showing me the consideration of my tap because I'm whispering something to you that I want you to acknowledge. You know, there's that the parable of I call it the persistent knocker. It's called the persistent widow, but I call it the persistent knocker. And we always think about it's us asking God. We're asking God, God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I need this. God, I need this. And finally, the person that's up in the bedroom finally goes, oh, fine. All right, here, you're knocking so much here. Just take your thing and go. What if he flips it? What if that's God knocking on the door of your heart with something that you're supposed to be listening to? And finally, you get up. Get up. Go to the door and hear what God is saying to you. See, God won't scream at us. He'll whisper to us. And he'll whisper to us for two reasons. But he will roar to the chains that bind you. And we're going to get into that. But let's find out why he whispers first. Right? We have to go back to our deserts. Do you hear the whisper of the Lord right now in your life? We had a wonderful time just being quiet before God. Isn't that nice? Oh my goodness, I was laughing. I said, God, I feel a little bit like a hypocrite because I am talking about hearing the whisper of God. And like, as we all know, getting ready for this conference, like the 2 weeks before this conference, it was like, oh, this soccer game. Okay, this basketball practice. Oh, okay, I have to go here. Oh, I have to prepare my teaching. What? No. Okay, and I'm like, oh, the whisper of God. And thank God he knows how to quiet my spirit in the little moments that I have sometimes when it gets crazy. We're not perfect, and we're not always going to have an hour to sit before the Lord and sit there. And I mean, I love it when it happens, but I'm real. I got 4 kids, man. Sometimes I'm lucky when I get that 15 minutes of quiet, and I love it when I get my hour. But man, it's not easy sometimes. But I can be quiet in my spirit in the midst of all the running. I can be quiet in my spirit when I'm teaching my kids who don't want to learn their times tables. I can do it. I can be as the Lord continues to guide me through it. And so we get quiet before the Lord and we hear his untainted whisper. He whispers for 2 reasons, I believe. And the first reason, foremost and always, is he is whispering to you because he wants intimacy with you. He wants that relationship with you. And that's why he doesn't yell. How many of you feel really close to your husband when they yell at you? Are you like, wow, what a guy? When they yell. I mean, and I'm sure they feel the same way when we yell at them. You know, take it as a lesson learned, all right? There's no intimacy in yelling. There's none. That's why God doesn't yell at us. That's why God doesn't condemn us. He always is whispering. But that quietness brings intimacy. You know, my favorite moments with my husband are when if I'm just tired and he's on the couch and I lay down and he just put his arms around me and I have my head on his chest. And it's quiet. I can hear his heartbeat. I can hear his heartbeat. I love that. I love that. It quiets me to hear my husband's heartbeat. It does. It quiets us to hear our husband's heartbeat. If we whispering quietness brings forth intimacy. It brings forth this incredible strength that we didn't know we could even tap into because it rejuvenates. The whisper of God is powerful in our lives. We could be missing it, having no idea what he's saying. And if we quiet ourselves and we put our head on our husband's chest and we hear his heartbeat, we can hear what he's whispering to us all of a sudden. We can hear it. We can hear that whisper. And you know, I won't get too deep into this, but when you start to hear whispering and secrets, intimacy, things start to happen in that relationship. This is not a marriage seminar. But things start to change. You know, my husband can get on my nerves sometimes. I love him. I know he's going to be listening to this. He's going to laugh, but because he does all the recordings. But, you know, once in a while, we might get on each other's nerves. We actually have a really solid marriage, and I'm thankful that, you know, we have what we have. But if he gets on my nerves sometimes, one of the things that I find that helps me is not to run away from him. Say, I need my space. You need your space. You go over there. I go over here. It actually puts a bigger drift or a bigger gap between us. But when I go to him and I say, I need a hug, you can go to God and say, I need a hug. You can go to God and say, I need a hug. You can be mad at God, and if you choose to walk away this way, it's just going to make the gap bigger. Or you can say, God, man, I'm mad. I don't get it, but I need a hug. Can I have a hug? And he'll hug me. And before I know it, the walls are falling down. And before I know it, intimacy is happening. And once intimacy starts happening, guess what happens, ladies? Conception. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. All right? Now, fortunately, I better be done after 4. But... out of intimacy, we conceive the dream of God on the inside of us. It doesn't come without intimacy, though. That's why he whispers his love to us. That's why we need the whisper of God. Do you know what he whispered to Elijah here? He said, go back the way you came. We've got to go deal with this. And guess what? I will be with you the whole way. We don't leave problems unresolved, but I stay there with you the whole time. I hang in there with you. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as a prophet. God had a dream of stuff to get done in Israel. He had a dream of things that had to be accomplished in Israel. And he said, and by that way, that little concept that you have where you are all by yourself, which you're not, because I'm with you every single step of the way. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never means never. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter what he's called you to. He will never leave you. Never, ever, 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 ever leave you. Never. Doesn't matter if he sent you on this road and guess what? You go this way. Did he leave Jonah? He didn't leave Jonah. He said, guess what? You went the completely opposite direction that I called you to. Guess what? I'm still with you. And I'm going to whisper to you, Jonah. I'm going to whisper in your heart in the belly of the whale until you get it and you get back on this road, because there's a dream in my heart that I'm putting in your heart to see the people of Nineveh be saved. He won't leave you, because he wants to accomplish the dream that he put on the inside of you. And the dream he gives you is the dream that your spirit craves. Your spirit craves his dream that is implanted by his whisper. It craves it. It craves it. We have to recognize that it is with intimacy that we are able to go through our struggles. It is with the intimacy that we have with our Lord that we are able to move on the road that he has called us to. And there are times where it's not easy to be intimate. I get it. I get it. And God gets it too. It's a marriage. It's a relationship. It's give and take. But we need that intimacy. And when we go without intimacy for a while, we feel it. I feel it. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But when I go without connecting with my Lord, I feel it. In my gut, I feel it. I'm like, I need you, God. Because the journey is too much for me on my own. It's too much for me. I can't do this on my own. I need your whisper. I need that connection. I need it. And when he gives us that whisper and he implants his dream and says, I've implanted this dream, and now you're going to go through the process of having it grow and having it grow and having it grow, and I'm going to be by your side the whole way until we give birth. What dream is he implanting in you? What dream is in there? It's always going to involve other people. It's always going to be something that involves the desert that you've been in. That desert is for a purpose. And that's what we've been learning this whole weekend. This desert of Damascus is for a purpose. And it's because there is something great that you are called to do. He wasn't alone. He said, oh, by the way, there's 7,000? I don't remember how many. 7,000 who I've reserved. You know what? There's about 100 here who he's reserved. We're not alone in what we're called to do. Look around you right now, ladies. Look around. There are women of faith that are around you, and we need to support each other in the call and the dreams that God has planted in each one of our hearts. We're not alone. We always have God with us, but guess what? God knows you're not just alone because you've got me, but you've also got each other. I always have a remnant. I always have people who you can connect with that can get that dream out of you. Sometimes it's like drilling for diamonds or digging for gold, man. It is hard to get to the dreams. We need each other to dig out our dreams in each other sometimes. I need it. Man, I crave that, those friendships that say, man, what is God doing in your life? I love it when someone gets in my face about God. I do. Man, somebody gets in my face and says, how has your time with the Lord been recently? And I'm like, what time with the Lord? I love it when someone gets in my faith because they're digging for my dream. They're helping me not let go of that dream. They're helping me keep it alive. And God sent them into my life for a reason. We should challenge each other, ladies. We need to get past all this junk that we have in our lives. This is not in my notes, but it's real. We have got to get past all this junk in our life where we're like, it's just me and God. And God will convict me. You know what? We need to love it. Absolutely love it and welcome it when someone gets in our face and says, let's work on our relationship with the Lord together. Let's pray with each other. Let's read our word together. Let's actually make sure that we're doing it sometimes. Do you know what I mean? We need these relationships in our lives. We are not islands amongst ourselves. We have got to embrace it. And we've got to stop hiding up all of our issues. Confess your sins one to another. confess your... Do you know how freeing that is? Do you know how much life there is when we can be real and be transparent with each other? Do you know how much those layers just shed off of us? When we allow God to use the vessels, the beautiful vessels He's created, we're not going to be perfect. Yep. One of your friends is going to make a mistake. Yep. One of your friends is going to say something that offends you. They are. And you got a choice. Am I going to dig for gold in her and tell her, you know, you said that in a way that actually upset me? Am I going to dig for gold in her and she's digging for gold in me? Or am I just going to say, forget that. That wasn't worth it. Back to my island amongst myself. Guess what? God won't leave you when you're an island amongst yourself. He'll still stay there with you, but He's going to take you right back to that desert and say, deal with that offense. Deal with what's going on. You need your sisters. You need your friends. You need each other. God cannot accomplish His purposes, ladies, when we are out there all by ourselves worrying about our own little petty issues. He's not going to get anything accomplished through us, and He knows it. That's why He keeps putting you in things like this, where you have to deal with your issues so that you can actually accomplish the purposes of God. Woohoo! Isn't it great? How many issues? I've got a list that He deals with me on a regular basis, and He can just keep working because I'm on the journey of faith. And I'll just keep working on it. You know, it was very tempting for me to just, as my mother-in-law stated, say, The whole thing with ministry, here you are. I was pretty frustrated with the church, I have to say. I had some books that I bought about quitting the church, how to leave the church well, how to... No, I'm not kidding. I had a bunch. The pagan church. Not because I wanted to be a pagan, but because, like, the church... You know, I was very disillusioned with the church, and I was just like, well, what? How do I... the church... And it was this whole thing about being kind of an island unto yourself. Do your whole thing. But I was married to a man, and that just wasn't going to happen. I'm like, man, I am stuck, God. I'm stuck. I'm like, I can't go anywhere. I can't run. I can't hide. I was like, I love my husband. I'm not leaving him. So I'm really stuck with this church thing, and I don't know what to do. And your desert is where the dream will be birthed. When God has a purpose or a plan, it's what the real you on the inside of you, because He created the real you on the inside of you, is craving. It's how He made you. But our flesh screams. No, see, my flesh does not whisper. My flesh does not whisper. My flesh screams at the top of its lungs. Don't do it. Run. Get away. Leave. Hide. I mean, it's just screaming, screaming, screaming. And I can listen to the scream of my flesh, or I can listen to the whisper of the Lord. The scream brings ease. The whisper brings peace. Are you listening to the voice of ease, or are you listening to the voice of peace in your life? Are we taking the easy road, right, Marie? Or are we taking the road of peace? All right. He knows when His whisper speaks to the place in us that He created to hold in our destinies. There is a destiny on each one of you. And we have things that hold us back from those destinies. And He's whispering. He's always whispering your destiny. He's always whispering His purposes. He's always whispering, this is what I created you to be. This is who I made you. This is the plan that I have for you. Not to harm you, but to bring you good. A purpose. Always whispering. So we got these chains on us, and a lot of chains have fallen this weekend. I'm so blessed. We have these chains on us. We have these things that cover our ears, cover our face, chain us back, so that when He says, run, for the purpose I've given you, all we hear is, nom, 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 nom. It's not clear. Ever had that? God, I can't hear you. God, I don't know what you're saying. God, where are you? Where are you? Why aren't you speaking to me? If we pursue the whisper will remain in here. But the Lion of Judah roars every chain and every hindrance right off of you if you hang in there. If you hang in there. Listen to this scripture in Hosea chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. This is in the Message. I love going to the Message sometimes because it just puts it in a whole new language that is really fun and fresh. And if you're ever feeling, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but you like reading the Word and it feels like it's the same old sometimes, read the Message, man. It gets right in your face. It's great. I love getting, it's awesome. So anyway, Hosea chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. My people are hell-bent on leaving me. They pray to the god Baal for help. He doesn't lift a finger to help them. But how? How can I give up on you, Ephraim? How can I turn you loose, Israel? How can I leave you to be ruined like Adma, devastated like the luckless Zeboim? I can't bear to even think such thoughts. You know what he's saying there? I can't even bear to think about leaving you, of abandoning you to destruction. It's not even something I'm capable of thinking of because I love you so ridiculously much. So then he says, my insides churn in protest against that kind of thought. God churns in protest against any kind of destruction coming towards you. He churns. His insides churn. And so I'm not going to act on my anger. I'm not going to destroy Ephraim. And why? Because I'm God and not a human. Hallelujah. He's God and he is not human. I am the Holy One and I'm here in your very midst. The people will end up following God. I will roar like a lion. Oh, how I will roar. My frightened children will come running from the west. You see, God sees when destruction is coming upon us. God sees when something is trying to stop you from the destiny and the purpose of God. He sees it and he says, oh no, no. My insides are churning when I see that. And something churns inside of God and he is the Lion of Judah. And he releases a roar that goes out over all that destruction, over all of those chains. And he says, she will hear my whisper. She will run the race that is marked out for her. She will succeed in all that she puts her hand to because I've created her to be that person. And those chains have to fall. You have a lion that is roaring for you. When you get scared, and when fear is holding you back, you just remember, you've got a lion behind you that has your back and he is roaring. And that thing that's looking you right in the face and telling you, you can't do it. It's not going to happen this time. You're going to fail. It's not going to work. You're going to drop down dead. You know what? You say, say it to him. Say it to him. And you listen to that roar come. And you listen to that strength come over you because he roars over you. Because he loves you. And he wants to release the whisper of God in your life. When our fears or our flesh have control of our hearts, God needs to shake us out of those chains with a mighty roar. Why did God send you to the desert? He did not send you to the desert to live a small life in the shadow of the problem. He sent you to the desert to live a large life that helps others. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13, again in the Message, says this. This is my scripture right now. This is my, you know, when you get that scripture that you're like, this is it, this is me, this is my life right now, this is my life right now. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Wow! The smallness we feel
comes from within us. Our flesh, our issues. But God says, I've called you to wide open spaces. Wide open. There's no end to the horizon that God has for our lives. And if we will cut off the smallness that we feed ourselves continually, say that we are only meant to do just this much and no more, or I can only handle this much, and we say, God, I want to hear your whisper, and I want to live openly and expansively. I want to open up my life and let it out. Right, Marie? Let it out. That was easy. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Let the dream out of you. Let it out of you. What do you think about? You're like, when you see somebody, you're like, oh, I wish I could do that. Or, oh, I would love to be able to do that. What's the dream? Like when you're in those quiet moments by yourself and God whispers something. Oh, go help that person. Oh, go minister to the prisoner's wife. Oh, go help the homeless. Oh, go help the battered women over there. Oh, go help your neighbor. What are the things that he's whispering to you? And then what is the smallness that comes in and tries to stop you from doing it? Ladies, we need to get dangerous. We need to get dangerous. God did not save you to tame you and have you live a half life. This life is supposed to be crazy. It's supposed to be crazy. Maybe you don't like hearing that, sorry. It's supposed to be crazy. It's supposed to be filled with adventure and love and excitement. And it's not going to be like that every day. I get it. But man, that life of God on the inside of us is supposed to break open the walls that are hindering us from doing what God has called us to do as women. Women are the answer. You know, when in Genesis, I'm not saying that men aren't important. Of course men are important. We need men. They're our covering. I'll make sure I'll get that in, okay? But but when God created Adam, right, it was not good for a woman to be alone. And so he created woman. He created Eve. She was the answer to the problem. They had to co-reign together. She was the answer. You are an answer to somebody's problem. Or Jesus in you is the answer to somebody's problem. Not you, believe me. We need to be dangerous. Say, I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous. Man, when you wake up in the morning, like Marie said, you should be dangerous living this wide open life and breaking out of the smallness that this world, the devil in our flesh, tries to put on top of us. Dare to change your world. What is he whispering to you? I hope you hear that phrase in you every morning for the rest of your life. What are you whispering to me? What are you whispering to me? Because every day it could be a different whisper. What an adventure. What a life. Who knows what he's going to say next? Woo! Isn't that exciting? Who knows? He could completely change it tomorrow. That is so cool. And I get to follow him. What an adventure. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I love this quote. Well-behaved women rarely make history. Laurel Thatcher Ulrich. Now, I'm not talking about sinning, okay? I'm not talking about being rebellious and doing... Well-behaved women rarely make history. Do you know what that means? That means that women who try to stay in a box of what everyone's trying to tell them to do or what they think their mindsets are trying to tell them to do, they never make history. They're stuck in their smallness. They're stuck in this box. I do not want to box God in. Toby Mac song, praise the Lord. All right, but I don't want to box God in. I don't want to live in the smallness. I want to be a woman who makes history. So if that means I have to be a little bit misbehaved and not follow what everyone else is saying, this is what it's supposed to look like. But I hear the whisper of God telling me, guess what? Guess what? You're supposed to go do that crazy thing that I told you to do. You're actually supposed to go step out and do it. Then I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure I'm lined up with my husband. I'm going to make sure I'm lined up with my family. And then I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. You have so much power on the inside of you. Not because of you. The Almighty God is on the inside of you. And he is waiting for his women to wake up and say, oh my goodness, God is on the inside of me. God is on the inside of you. God is on the inside of you.
Do you know how much power you have every day of your life at your disposal? Is the journey going to be easy? No. Was it easy for Elijah? No. Did he follow God's plan? Yes, he did. We need to embrace the power of God that is on the inside of us. Go wild. Go crazy. I'm going to get into that in 1 minute. Get free. Get free. We need to love the danger of God. I told my husband a few months ago, I miss the danger of God. I miss it. I miss it. I don't miss a lot of other things that happen in ministry, but I miss the danger of God. I miss putting my hands on people and watching the demons flee. I miss it. I miss seeing women, and I loved having it happen this weekend, praying with women and seeing chains fall off of them and seeing them embrace God. I miss it. We should be living it every day of our lives. I miss the danger of God. I miss when he would tell me to do something absolutely wild and crazy. And guess what? I'd have the faith to do it and it would happen not because of me, but because God said to do it. God will empower you and give you the grace to do what he tells you to do. And if you mess up, guess what? He's still with you, and he'll still get it done through you. He'll just redirect you a little bit. He's not condemning you ever. Ever. He gets it when we make a mistake. He's big enough to handle our mistakes. You know, and I think this fear thing comes on the inside of us because we're really afraid we'll mess up, we'll do something wrong. You know, I think it came in the curse with Eve. I really do. You know, she messed up. Big time. She royally messed up. She didn't listen to the Lord, or she got things twisted up in her mind, and she messed up. You know, God fixed it. God fixed it. He knew she was going to do it from the beginning of time anyway, and he fixed it with his son. He fixed whatever mistake you make already with his son. It's fixed. It's fixed. Be free. Go wild. Do something crazy for Jesus. Do something crazy for Jesus. Just do it. Just do it.
I noticed a mindset I had in myself through a movie. And I'm going to play about 10 minutes of this movie and then we're going to finish up. But this movie, great family movie, Secretariat. Anybody ever seen it? About horror? Love this movie. I didn't realize how much God was speaking to me through this movie, but God does speak to me a lot through movies. Kind of, I'm a theater major. I love the arts and things like that. And so every time I watch a movie, I feel like I'm having an encounter with Jesus. Somehow he speaks with me. Drives my husband nuts. So I'm like, well, do you see what that could represent and what that means? And then, you know, all this crazy stuff. And so I'm watching this movie, and it's a story about a lady who has to go kind of against what everybody's telling her because she inherits this horse farm from her father. And she gets this horse that nobody else wanted, but that's the horse that she wanted. She believed there was something in this horse. And she basically goes through this process of losing everything, and everyone's telling her, just stop. Quit. It is enough. Just stop. And she has this whisper on the inside of her that says, how? How? She's supposed to persevere in this. She's losing all her money. Her family's getting upset with her. She's having to travel all this time, and she's got this thing on the inside of her that says, no. No, I'm supposed to keep doing this. I'm supposed to keep doing this. And so she keeps going. She keeps going. And she hires this horse jockey who has kind of a bad rep. I mean, he's a really good horse jockey, but he's a bad rep because he would work the horses really hard. And he rode a horse one point to a place where the horse's heart burst open. This is a true story, by the way. So the horse's heart burst while he was riding the horse so hard on the racetrack. But she saw something in him, and she hires him. She sees something in this horse trainer, who's an amazing horse trainer, and she hires him. And they're getting ready for this really big race. And I love this. I just love this. They're getting ready for this really big race. And everything is based on this race for her. Her entire livelihood, everything's on it. And she's given it everything she's got. And her family's with her now. They're all supporting her. Everything's coming back. And now it's up to this race. And she has to make a decision because the horse trainer looks at her and says, my gut instinct is most people rest their horses on this really long race. My gut instinct is to run this horse hard. Let him run every day. Let him run, let him run, let him run, let him run some more. He's got this thing in him. He's got this thing in him, and he needs to run. It will build him up. He's like, if I'm wrong, it could kill him. Because it's so much running. It's so much running. And she goes, do it. Do it. And so it comes the day of the big race, and the jockey comes and talks to the horse trainer, and he's telling him all the good things to do, and he says, and most of all, make sure you don't. And he says, what? Explode his heart? So he's getting healed from his past. And so this whole movie, the race, I didn't know the true story, so I'm loving it. And I'm like, oh, it's a true story. But I kind of build up these Hollywood moments in my life. And so the whole race, I'm watching it, and I am on pins and needles because I'm expecting, listen to what this is, though. I am expecting the horse's heart first. It's my mindset. He's worked too hard. He's running too fast. I'm expecting the worst. I'm expecting failure. I'm expecting the dramatic Hollywood moment where maybe everybody appreciates all that's happened, but something bad's got to happen, right? Something bad's got to happen in this moment. God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever think or imagine. That's the mindset we're supposed to have. Just watch 10 minutes of the movie. Stop it. That's all right. So obviously our sound is only picking up the horses and not the voices. That's all right. I got it. I'm good. I'm good. It sounds great on my laptop, by the way. I'm very good. This is what happens. I'm sure. How many of you have seen the movie? Who's seen the movie? Okay, so you all know it anyway, for the most part. All right, so they're running this race. They're running and they're running, and everyone's going, oh, this isn't good. Oh, this isn't good. Oh, they're running him too fast. And I'm sitting there going, oh, they're running him too fast. He's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to break a leg. Something's going to happen. That horse starts off like a bandit. Got one competitive horse right next to him the whole way. Stays like a bandit, and they're all like, oh, he's got to slow down. He's going too fast, 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 going too fast. He keeps running the whole race. He's one length ahead. He's two lengths ahead. He's three lengths ahead. He's four lengths ahead. He gets up to 20-something lengths ahead of the entire race. No one's ever run a race that fast since Secretariat run that race. And the entire time, they are sitting there going, they're speechless.
because it was exceedingly abundantly above all she could have ever thought or imagined. The horse didn't die. It wasn't this big drama at the end. You know what? The horse succeeded above all you could ever think or imagine. We are to run our race that way. At some point in the race, when everyone's going, don't do it. Stop. Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. You know what she says? She's sitting there. She's all bottled up on the inside, and she finally just stands up and she screams, let him run! Let him run! Let him run! That is what God is saying over you today. Let her run! Let her run! Let her run! Go ahead! Do it! You're not gonna die. You will live and declare the works of the Lord. You will live. And you know what? It's not about this big battle. The horse did what the horse was designed to do. That horse had it on the inside of him to be able to run a race in the fullness of his ability. You have it on the inside of you to run your race in the fullness of the ability that God has given you. And you will succeed. And you will cross that finish line and say, I have finished my race. I have run it. And I have persevere, and you will get the well done, thou good and faithful servant. At the end of your race, dare to dream. Drop off those things that tell you you cannot do it. Drop off those things that are telling you you are too small. I am small in stature, but I am not small in spirit. I might be 5'2", but you better watch out, because I am choosing to live open and expansively my life. Diane had the whisper of God come to her. Start a woman's ministry for people who are going to be in the workplace. Wasn't the right time. Wasn't the right season. And God said, do it. But God, but God, no. Do it. But God, do it. And finally, the persistent whisper. Got her. And she's doing it. And she's got a women's conference next weekend for women who are working in the workplace. And she's giving the life of God into them. She's released what she thought was too small or with the smallness in her life and said, I'm going to live openly and expansively for Jesus Christ. What is a whisper in you? Ask yourself. Start searching it out. What is a whisper on the inside of you? And dare to do it. Because it matches up exactly with who God is. It needs you to be. It matches exactly. It won't be easy. Is it easy, Diane? It's not easy. But you will finish your race. Leaps and bounds, abundantly above all you could ever think or imagine, because God told you to do it. And it's all about Him anyway. It's all about Him anyway. It's all about what He says. The last thing I'm going to say is, oh, let me give you the scripture too. I meant to do this. Psalm 119:32. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Your heart is free. Now run. Run. Run, run, run. Listen to the whisper and run. Listen to the whisper and run. My daughter is on a soccer team, and her coach, Coach Carey, we all love Coach Carey. She's going to come to the Lord. And she's a great coach. You know when you just get that great coach? I'm like so happy my daughter has this coach. She's a great coach. And she gets really excited for the girls. She keeps it fun. And we were at a game. And she saw the girls really working together as a team. Like they were passing back and forth. It wasn't about one girl being a superstar, the whole thing. They were passing back and forth, and they were just going for the goal. They were going for the goal. You know, like it was just that aggressive, like we're going to win the game. And she was getting so excited. She's on the side. Yeah, go, 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 you know, and she's getting all excited. And she's excited. And then finally, because she's seeing such teamwork, she's seeing them all work together, encouraging each other, talking to each other, say, pass over here, talk to me, I'm over here, I'm open. They're saying all this stuff together. And they just keep getting goal after goal after goal. And finally, Coach Carey just gets up and goes, go crazy, girls, go crazy, girls, go crazy, girls. Because it was just like they were just, it was clicking. It was clicking. And she was just so excited. She was like, go crazy. Man, if we start doing that in the body of Christ, if we start acting like a team, instead of, either one being a superstar saying, oh, please just bench me, I'm not ready to play. But we say, let's get out there and play, and I'll pass to you, and you pass to me, and I'll pass to you, and oh, you go get the goal, good. And we're all a team, and we all get the credit anyway, and all the credit goes up to God. Go crazy. I love that.
And I was like, that is so cool.
Go crazy. Go crazy. Go wild. Go wild. I am like so excited about what God wants to do. He wants to do some crazy things. Go crazy. Ask somebody what their dream is before you leave. Then see if you can help them with their dream. Serve someone else's dream for a little while. Then watch and see what God does to help serve the dream He put on the inside of you. Let's make each other's dreams happen, because that's how God wants us to work. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, you are a wild God. You're not a tame God. You're a wild God. You're an adventurous God. You're a strong God who roars over His daughters. Lord, we are your daughters here today, and we ask you to roar over the smallness of our life, Lord God. We ask you to roar over the chains that bind us. We ask you to roar over the depression that holds us back, Lord God. We ask you to roar over anything, Lord God, that would stop us from hearing the whisper, the consistent, beautiful whisper of your voice, Lord Jesus. We want to follow your whisper with the fullness of our being, holding nothing back, God. We want to live a wild and crazy life for you, Lord God, that says, I will do what the whisper of God is speaking to me, Lord God. We want to do your whisper, Lord God. We want to envelop that whisper. We want that intimacy. We want that time with you, Lord God, that we can hear your voice, that we can hear your heartbeat, Lord God, that we can be enveloped in your presence, Lord Jesus, that we can fulfill the plans and the purposes that you have for us, Lord God. Lord, I just ask right now that you would start to whisper to your daughters. Whisper to your daughters. Even now, Lord God. Whisper. Whisper. To ask the ministry to come, ministry team to come up. And I don't know which part of this may have spoken the most to you. Maybe you need to hear the roar of the lion to tear some things off of you, break some chains off of you. Maybe you need to quiet yourself to hear the whisper of God, that you're desperate for the whisper of God and you want to hear it. Hear it clearly. Maybe you've been hearing the whisper of God and you've been living a small life instead of an open and expansive life. Whatever it is, whatever has hit you, come get prayer for it. Maybe you're ready to be wild and crazy. Come get prayer for it. Join up. Join forces. Whatever God's speaking to you, however He's ministered to you, let Him do it. Feel this weekend with a commitment to listen to the whisper of God, because the journey will be too much unless we have that whisper happening in our lives. Amen? We need the whisper, and then we need to run the race marked out for us. Amen. You guys.